All right, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. Let's look at verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighted. The bowels of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that with fall have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so the barren had borne seven, and she that had many children is waxed feeble. The Lord kill it and make it alive. He bring it down to the grave and bring it up. The Lord make it poor and make it rich. He bring it low and lift it up. He raise it up the poor and out of the dust, and lift it up the beggar from the dunghill. And he set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he had set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces, out of the heaven shall eat thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalted the horn of his anointed." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful song of Hannah, a song of praise, a song of a grateful heart for what you have done in her life. And I pray, Lord, as we look at this song and dissect this song, Lord, give us something we can rejoice as well. Even in the midst of trial and turmoils of life and difficulties of life, we can look up to you and rejoice in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So last week we look at the prayer of a broken heart. Last week we did look at Hannah, and Hannah, we noticed from what we saw here is that Hannah was a woman with a broken heart. And why was she so broken? She was broken because of what was going on in her life. She wanted to have kids. She didn't have any kids. And she was one of two wives. Her husband had another wife, and the other wife had all the kids. And she didn't have any kids. And what happened there? The other wife was tormenting her, mocking her, and all kinds of things. So she was troubled. She was what we call a troubled woman at a very soul, at the core of her very soul. She was a troubled woman. And she went to the temple to pray, and she prayed. She went there for a specific prayer. Remember, we said last week that she prayed for a boy, not a girl, for a specific boy. She prayed for a boy, and the Lord gave her a boy. And interesting, she said she would give him back to the Lord, and that's what she did. But here we can see she's not more a woman of a sorry heart or a broken heart or a contrite heart. She's a woman here of a grateful heart. That's the title of our message tonight, the song of a grateful heart. It is amazing when the Lord does something for us and in our lives, how we can rejoice. Sometimes, you know, we come from the deeps of despair, and how we rejoice in the Lord. I don't know about you, but a lot of times, sometimes when I think where I was before I got saved and what I was doing when I got saved and what the Lord done in my life, and someone, when I meditate on that, it just brings you joy. It's a great joy. If you tell the person next to you that don't know the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior, he has no clue what you're talking about. No clue at all. But those of us who are saved, we understand the great salvation that we have in the Lord. So for the sake of introduction, when it comes to prayer, there are two ways on which we can do it. There's public prayer and there's private prayer. But either way, you and I, when we pray, always requires a humble, contrite heart when we talk to the Lord. For us to talk to the Lord and pray, we have to have a contrite, humble heart. We should never make prayers as a casual thing or a fill-the-moment thing. Let's pray right now, and we're just mumbling words, and we don't mean what we say. You know, we think that we can impress people, but we cannot impress God. The Lord looks at the heart and the way we speak it and how we speak it, and he sees the way the prayers come to him. So prayer is a serious thing because it is our way to speak to our Heavenly Father. In this verse, we see Hannah seriously praying to the Lord. It is a prayer, so to speak, a prayer of thanksgiving. It is a prayer of gratitude. It is a prayer of recognition for who God is. It is amazing sometimes. Listen, sometimes we pray, and a lot of our prayers are petitions. We ask the Lord. We ask the Lord. We ask the Lord. We always ask the Lord. What about sometimes we should pray and just tell the Lord how grateful we are and how good he is? Lord, you're so merciful. You're so kind and loving, and you're so forgiving. I thank you for that. I mean, sometimes we forget those things, and we go straight to the petition. I understand because sometimes we have to run to him because he's the only source. He's the only help that we have. And there's nothing wrong about petition, but what I'm trying to say is, what about glorifying him for who he is? So tonight we will look at the prayer of Samuel's mother, Hannah, and how she dedicated her life to him and also dedicated her son to him. But the prayer of gratitude right here. If I, with the sung up, the trust of what Hannah says in her song here, I would be this way. God, you are in control. Therefore, I rejoice. If you look at this whole song right here, pretty much is, Lord, you are in control. And Lord, I rejoice. Are we on social media? We are. Okay, good. Good. I just want to say to the folks on social media, I'm sorry, we had some technical problems and we went down for a second, but we're back up and I'm glad you're still following us. So have you ever thought about that? God is in control and therefore we may rejoice in him. You know, listen, even in the midst of troubles and trials and headaches of life, God's still in control. You know, right now we're going to a pandemic. We're already like a year already. We have all these things. You think we really think that God is panicking? And his God is going, oh no, 1 year already. He's in perfect control. I wonder if he's allowing this thing to keep going on so people can start looking up. Because we're looking this way. We don't look in that way. We look in this way. Man as the answer for every problem. Humanism at high level. Man have an answer for every problem. That's what it is. We live in a world that we don't look up to God. We look up to man. Any disease, yeah, we're going to find the cure for that. It's all about man. You know one thing that people don't have the cure for is debt. People die by the thousands every day, even without COVID. And people don't seem to care or is trying to rush about getting something, inventing something that people won't die anymore. Guess what? There's no medication for that one. You see, God is in control and therefore we rejoice in him. Can you rejoice in the midst of tears? Can you rejoice in the midst of a broken heart? Oh, yes, you can. Again, it's a choice that we make. It is sometimes hard for us to see this when we are going through difficult times. That's when it can be helpful to hear the testimony of someone else who has gone through a difficult time and has already passed to the other side. Sometimes, it's good to hear people that have been through the troubles that we went through so they can help us along. I tell you what, I'm always very compassionate, always very kind, and try to go out of my way and help and encourage people that I know they have cancer. You know why? Because I went through that. And I know, and people say, radiation is tough, or chemotherapy is tough. You don't know how tough it is until you go through it. See, this song is her, is Hannah's testimony, not only for what God has done in her life, but how God operates in all life. And so it can be an encouragement to all of us. Hannah knew what it was like to suffer pain. She was barren. Her husband's second wife, Peninnah, often provoked her to tears because of this. But when she cried out to God for a son, you know what? And told the Lord she would dedicate her son back to him, the Lord answered her prayer. And let me tell you, there are prayers that God does not answer the way we want. Yeah, and you would question, why not? Because he's God and we're not. There are prayers that the Lord answers in his own time, not in our time. And I said this last week. There are prayers that God choose not to answer. Put it this way. Paul asked the Lord to take the thorn out of his flesh. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. What happened there? Paul lived with that thorn in the flesh. God said, I'm not going to take it away from you. We might have, some of us might be living with some illness. And we pray and we pray and we pray. And God chooses not to take it away. You know, don't listen to those preachers out there that are saying, it's because you live in disobedience. Really? You know how many Christians that I know that love the Lord? They love the Lord with all their heart, and their life is a living testimony of that. And they're always in extreme trouble. They're always in extreme pain, extreme difficulty. Are they living in rebellious? No. The Bible says, in this world we shall suffer tribulation. She cries out, my heart rejoices in the Lord. And we see this in verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1. Why does she rejoice? Because God is in control of all things. This is her story. This is her song. Let's look at this all together tonight. This chapter 2 is Hannah's song. This chapter 2 is Hannah's prayer. This chapter 2 is a heart that is rejoicing for who God is. So number one, there is no one like our God. There's no one like our God. After Hannah left her son with Eli, she could have gone off alone and do a good cry. Imagine a mother just weaning the baby out and leave that baby in the temple there with Eli the priest and go back home. You would think that Hannah would go cry all the way home. What I've done, what kind of promise I did, how the man's going to take of my child. You know what? She did not. She trusted the Lord that they would take care of her son. She trusted the Lord that the Lord would take care of the son. And she went home rejoicing. How many times we parents, we are guilty, we don't want our kids to go anywhere. Oh, no, don't go over there. Oh, no, don't go over there. You know, sometimes we think our kids are not capable of doing things. We got to trust the Lord with our children. We need to. See, but instead of crying, she burst in a song of praise. The world doesn't understand the relationship between sacrifice and song. How can people sing in the midst of a sacrifice or conflict? How can people burst in a song in the midst of pain and turmoil? Look in 2 Chronicles 29:27 says, and Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. So before Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he would be arrested, he sang the hymn with his disciples. Look what it says in Matthew 26:30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Right before the storm, Jesus was singing, praising God. And let me tell you, we Christians need to have a song in our hearts. We do. I think that, you know, people think that we Christians are, or the lost world think we just this all sad people or those too serious people. No, we should be a rejoicing people. Rejoicing people in the midst of pain, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of difficulties of life. Listen, have a song in your heart. You say, Pastor, do you have problems? All the time. All the time we have problems. You know what? We just trust the Lord with him. Because you know what? I was actually talking to one of my superintendents today at work. It's interesting what he said. He said to me, he said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. He said, how you doing? I said, lots of problems, he goes. I said, really? I just fix one problem at a time. He goes, well, the problem is you fix one, you got 10 more ahead of you. I said, well, that's the way life is, isn't it? He's always something. He's always something coming up. What do? You fix the problem. Interesting, last night we got this, my son called me and said, Dad, can we come over to the house and sleep over? I said, sure, what's the problem? He said, well, our septic system, the alarm came on and nothing works, and we're afraid we're going to have backup sewage in the house. It happened right there. So how much you think it's going to cost me? I said, I don't know. You need to call somebody and deal with it after. And it didn't cost him anything. It's one switch that failed and stop everything, but he didn't know. But see, problems just come at our face immediately. We don't know how we do with it. We just deal with it. Sleep on it. We pray for him. We pray for him and we get all this stuff and done. And you know what? The next day, the Lord's good. And you know what? We praise his name. So before Jesus went to get himself arrested, you would go to Calvary. Guess what? He sang a hymn. Paul and Silas sing hymns to the Lord after they had been humiliated and beaten in Acts chapter 16, verse 20-26. Folks, frequently in the Psalms, you find David praising God in the midst of difficult circumstances. You see, Hannah's song near the beginning of 1 Samuel should be compared to David's song found near the end of 2 Samuel 22, as well with Mary's song in Luke 1 when she found that when she had a baby there. All three songs tell the us of the God's grace to undeserving people, God's victory over the enemy, and the wonderful way God turns things upside down in order to accomplish his purposes. So let's look at this in from several points. Letter A, the joy of the Lord. Look at first verse 1 right there and of our text, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiced in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. You see, he says a couple times in the same verse, rejoice. You see, the joy of the Lord was in her heart. And let me tell you, Hannah was praying and rejoicing at the same time. She was thinking of God's blessing to the nation of Israel as well to herself in her home. When prayer is selfish, it isn't spiritual and it does not honor God at all. But when prayer is a prayer of joy and gratitude and it comes from the heart, God is pleased. And let me tell you, and we rejoice. She was rejoicing in the Lord. Let me tell you this. Do you ever see a person, a Christian person, with the joy of the Lord in his heart? And let me tell you, it doesn't matter what trouble comes in that person, that joy is there. And let me tell you, we have those who try to suck that joy out. The devil tried to suck it out. The world tried to suck that joy out. Our own flesh tried to suck that joy out. But let me tell you, I've seen Christians that the joy of the Lord is expressed in their face. We got close to them, we took to them, and we began to experience the same joy. I don't know if you see those types of people, but I've seen some through the years. Whether day in, day out, week in, week out, year after year, you see the joy of the Lord in their hearts. We see Hannah right here with the joy of the Lord. You see, Hannah knew in her heart that God was going to do great things for his people and that her son would play an important part in accomplishing God's will. Her worship came from her heart and was saturated by the joy of the Lord. I'll tell you what, if we get ourselves and begin to pray and talk to God with our hearts full of joy and gratitude, those prayers, my friend, are sweet prayers. This sweet time of prayer. Ever heard of a sweet time of prayer? That's when we have the joy of the Lord. The wood horn in verse 1 and 10 symbolizes strength of a strong person. To have your horn exalted means to receive a new strength from God and be specially helped by Him in times of crisis. Hannah doesn't claim any strength of her own here. God is the one who gives us strength when we are weak. God is the one who renews our strength when we are weary. We need to learn to find our strength in God as Hannah did. Listen, folks. All of us have problems. Some more have more problems than others. But let me tell you, any problem can be resolved. But you know how we resolve problems the best way? And when we have the joy in the Lord, of the Lord in our hearts. Let it be. No one rescues like the Lord. We see this in verse 1 and verse 2. Hannah begins by proclaiming that there is no one like God. And she says several things about this. First of all, no one rescues like God. Look at verse 1 there. The word rejoice translated here is a word that means to exalt or triumph. It is rejoicing that is associated with victory. An enlargement here in those verses means a mouth boasting of God's victory over his enemies. You know, it's like, yeah, I come to you, Brother Robert, and I say, Brother, you want to know what God did for me yesterday? And you say, yeah, tell me about it. And I'm boasting out in gratitude and joy, and I'm telling you with this excitement. That's exactly what the way Hannah was. She said her mouth enlarged in here. You see, defeated people have to keep their mouth shut, but those who share God's victory have something to talk about to the glory of God. And let me tell you, I rejoice in thy salvation suggests more than Hannah's being delivered from barrenness. Hannah sees this miracle at the beginning of a new victory for Israel. For Israel, a time was coming, but anyway, they were under. They were for Israel. Time after time, had been invaded, defeated, and abused by their enemies. Hannah says her mouth boasts over her enemies. So, what enemies do you think she is talking about here? Well, you might be first thinking of Pauli Panana, the other wife of that was in the house was pretty cruel to Hannah. She intentionally provoked her about her barrenness over a long period of time and often reduced her to tears. But I doubted that her enemy was Peninnah here. We don't see her going to the temple and pray that the Lord would take Peninnah out of the way. She was praying for a child. You see, her enemy here is her barrenness. She couldn't have a child here. That was her worst enemy. She wanted to conquer that at all costs. She wanted to be a mother. Hannah had that enemy in mind. But I think Hannah is mainly thinking of barrenness right here itself was her enemy. Even apart from Peninnah, Hannah's barrenness was a great source of sorrow and shame to her. Now, she had been rescued. She had given birth to a son. Her mouth boasts over that enemy. Isn't that wonderful when we trust the Lord? So Hannah also says, I rejoice in thy salvation. The word translated rejoice here has to do with gladness rather than victory. God had rescued her. He had turned Hannah's weakness to strength. He had overcome her enemies. He had turned her sorrow into gladness. That's what the Lord does. No one rescues like God. Let me tell you this. No one rescues like God. Some people can be rescued from a cliff that is falling. Some people might be rescued from a fast-moving waters. Some people might be rescued from falling off a boat or something. And all great rescues. But let me tell you, no one rescues like God. You know what? The very fact that we are saved, that's the greatest rescue of all. Let us see. No one is holy like God. Look at verse 2. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. You see the way she's boasting, the way she's singing, the way she's praising God? It is good for us to begin our prayers with praising the Lord, because praise helps us focus on the glory of the Lord, not on our great needs. Many times our focus is our great needs over and over again. I tell you what, if we start prayer by praising our great God, we concentrate in His goodness and who He is many times. When we see the greatness of God, we start to see life from a different perspective many times. Sometimes, you know what happens? We're so wrapped up in our own little world, in our own little troubles, in our own little things, we forget how great is our God. And Hannah here, she takes her mind out of that and she's praising God. She didn't go home crying because she had to left her child there. And no, she left and she was glorifying God. Hannah knew the character of God and exalted His glorious attributes. She began by affirming His holiness and uniqueness. The two go together, both in Hebrew and Greek. The word holy means holy, holy other, or set apart, separating. Separated. Actually, Orthodox Jews confess daily, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? One Lord." Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hannah goes on to say that no one is holy like our God. Is anyone more holy than our God? No. He's a holy, pure God. Folks, when we really understand who God is and what God does in our lives, especially in moments of intense trials, we can help but express that there is none holy as He. We can follow Him. We can trust Him. We can pat on ourselves after Him. You know why? Because He's a holy God. God's holiness means first of all of us, because He is separated from all sources of evil. When we say that God is holy, we mean that He's separated from all creation. He's above all things. He's before all things. He's sovereign over all. But God's holiness also refers to His righteousness and purity, the Lord perfectly holy and just. And let me tell you, we have a God that we can trust. We have a holy God. Hannah understood that. That is important when we talk about God being in control. If an unholy God was in control of the universe, I would not find that very comforting. But our God is holy. There is none holy like our God. The Lord is majestic. You know, He's all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present. Holy, holy, holy Lord. God Almighty, perfect in power, love, and purity. You cannot compare God to anyone else. I tell you what. We trust our God. We pattern ourselves after our God because He is a holy God. Let it be, no one protects like the Lord. Look again in verse 2. He says, neither is there any rock like our God. He is our rock. He is our foundation. The rock is one of the repeated images of the Lord in Scripture. It's found in the song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32, and in David's song. And in 2 Samuel chapter 20, a rock speaks of the Lord's strength, stability, and steadfastness, and magnifies the fact that He does not change. People change all the time. People change their opinions. People change their words. People change their houses. People change their jobs. People change their clothes. People change places where they live. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same God. Some people think maybe the Lord can have a different plan of salvation. No, He has one plan. People say maybe this way, maybe this way. You know what? If God was going to change His plan of salvation to accommodate every person in this world, He would be changing His plan of salvation constantly all the time. Oh, Lord, I don't like the way Your plan is. Why don't You do this? And no. He has one plan, He never changes. His word does not change. People's words change all the time. People's opinions change all the time. You know what? God's word never changes. Isn't that wonderful? I can trust God's word. I can bank on God's word. I can live by God's word. You know why? Because it doesn't change. It's the same. It's the same for every generation. You know what? This Bible, the Word of God, was written long ago. And you know what? Through the ages, through the centuries, it changed thousands of people's lives. You say, really? Yes, for those of you on social media, you say, listen, did you ever read a Bible? Why don't you start today? I say, I don't have one. Once you come to church, I give you one. You know what? It will change your life, I promise you. You know, the people out there, you know what they do? They say things and they assume things about the Bible and they have no clue what the Bible teaches. But they try to become theologians about the Bible and obviously they're ignorant about the fact that they don't understand the Bible at all. But no one protects like our God. He is our rock. Listen, folks, no one rescues like our God. No one is holy like our God. No one protects you like our God. That's what Hannah means here when she says, though there is no rock like our God. In Bible times, rock was a place of safety and refuge. You may look to all sorts of things in life as your refuge or safety net, but there is no safer place than the hands of our God. No matter what trials you may be going through, no matter what circumstances you might find yourself today, you are saved. You are protected in the hands of God. You know, we have to be careful as Christians that we don't wrap ourselves in our troubles, that we don't see ahead. And it's very easy for us to do that. We see the problem arrives and we there. Listen, we need to look to the rock, to our God. You see, Hannah went to the temple. She prayed for a man child. And let me tell you, when she went there, she was brokenhearted. She was a lot of sorrows in her heart. But let me tell you, she never stopped trusting God. She knew who God was. Do you think that Hannah would walk away from the Lord if the Lord didn't give her a child? I doubt it. You see, there's no one like our God. Number two. The Lord humbles and exalts. The Lord humbles and exalts. We see this from verse 3 to verse 8. In the next part of the song, Hannah talks about God who both humbles and exalts. In verse 4 and 5, Hannah gives three examples of what we might call reversals of fortune in life. She contrasts the warrior with those who stumble. Those who are full with those who are hunger, and the barren woman with the woman who have many sons. The warriors right here, the warrior's weapon can be broken, while those who are stumbling suddenly find themselves in position of strength. Those who are full go hungry, and while those who are hungry find plenty of food. She who has barren give birth to seven sons, but she who has had many sons pines away. So the seven sons here in verse 5 are symbolic. Seven is the number of perfection and completeness in the Bible. And so seven sons would be symbolic here. Or a complete reversal of fortune from a barren state. This last example would have had special meaning to Hannah for her situation. Hannah doesn't know it yet, but God will bless her with five more children after Samuel. Three sons and two daughters, six children in all. You see, when we trust God, when we live day by day, trusting our Lord, with our eyes on the Lord, let me tell you, the Lord has such blessings for us in store. The problem is, you know what the thing is? Sometimes we say we trust God when we don't. Sometimes we say we trust in the Lord and we are trusting ourselves. And Lord, and let me tell you, this happens to me, this happens to all of us. These three examples demonstrate that just because you are in a certain position today does not mean you will be in the same position tomorrow. Life throws you some pretty strange curveballs at times. And you never know what tomorrow may bring. We never know. It is unsettling to think that everything could change in a moment. But then Hannah gives us the second part of the truth. These reversals of fortune are not a result of random chance, but rather it is God who humbles and exalts. You see this in verse 6 to verse 8. God is the giver and taker of life there. God sends both poverty and wealth. He is the one who humbles and exalts. As a result, there are two very clear applications for us in all this. Do not be arrogant and do not be discouraged. Number one, or letter A, do not be arrogant. Look what it says in verse 3. Talk no more, so exceeding proudly, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighted. The Lord is the God of knowledge, the Bible says right here. So people are better be careful what they say and how they say it. There's no place for pride and arrogance when you stand before God who knows your thoughts right through you. Let me tell you this. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees and Sadducees? They were arrogant, weren't they, and prideful. They will go to the corners of the street and make those beautiful prayers to impress people. Did they impress God? No, they did not. You know why? Because the Lord looked right deep inside of their hearts and see exactly the intentions of their prayers. And you know what? There's a lot of people like that. People can put a front, but God knows the inside. God knows the inside. So do not be arrogant. Everything you have brought, spoken, and done, God heard all of Peninnah's words spoken against Hannah, and she also heard Hannah's prayer from her heart. God knows all things. He's omnipresent and beholds all things. Hannah rejoiced because this is a holy God who judges the actions of his people. Sometimes we say, oh, people get away with all kinds of things. Let me put it this way. Do you really believe that? You really believe that people get away with all kinds of things? I don't. God knows all and sees all. If they get away in this life, they won't get away in the other side. You see, if you are in a position of power or strength or wealth today, do not be arrogant, be humble. Understand that your position could change at any moment. Recognize that you are only there because God put you there. And you will only be there for long as God chooses for you to be there. God is the one who humbles and exalts. You know, hard for people to grasp that. Let it be, do not be discouraged. Look what it says in verse 8. He raised up the poor out of the dust. He lifted up the beggar from the dunghill. He set them among the princes and do make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he had set the world upon them. On the other hand, if you are in a low position today, do not be discouraged about it. That's what verse 8 says. If you are in a position of weakness or helplessness, do not be discouraged. Discouragement can get the best of us. You know, when we discouraged and beaten down, everything looks better around us. Where's God? The Lord, I've been praying this long for you. Why don't you listen to my prayers? And we blame other people. We go this, we go there. Maybe sometimes we blame it ourselves. Maybe I'm not that good. Maybe I'm not that good of a person. Maybe it was my word. We just keep going on and on. And God says, you not be discouraged. Discouragement can cause us to get defeated by the enemy. Understand that your position could change in any moment. How many times you are discouraged and 5 minutes later, half an hour later, you are rejoicing? Things change very rapidly. Recognize that you are only there because God put you there. And you will only be there for long as God chooses you to be there. You know, sometimes the Lord put something in our lives, and we get beat down, discouraged. You know what? He's just trying your faith. He wants to see how you respond. I know how people respond sometimes with problems. You know how they respond? Yelling, screaming, cursing, blaming others. Non-godliness there. Others respond with the joy of the Lord and say, Lord, I'm here. I know you're going to get me out of here. I don't know how long I'm going to be here, Lord, but I'm going to trust you on this one. Recognize that you're there because the Lord put you there. There's one of the most important truths that you can learn in life. God is in control. He is the one who humbles and exalts. Listen, God is in control of everything. Don't matter what we individually going through life. Don't matter what we're doing in life. Don't matter what this pandemic is doing. Our God is in perfect control. Therefore, do not be arrogant. Do not be discouraged. Trust the Lord. God is in control. Let's rejoice with it. Number three, the Lord rules over everything. We see this in verse 8 to verse 10. Because he is sovereign, the Lord is in control of life and death and everything in between. Look what it says in verse 6. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bring it down and to the grave and he bring it up. He can rescue us from the grave or permit us to die. If he allow us to live, he can make us rich or poor, exalt our base, he knows what's best for us. The Lord can do all this. He doesn't suggest that people should be weakly, completely with difficult circumstances and do nothing about it, but that we can change, but we can change the circumstances without the Lord's help. Listen, the Lord can help us in every situation of life. Here's the thing. Do you trust him? Do you trust the Lord? Hannah trusted the Lord. You know, there was a pastor one time that said this way. He said it this way. There are many times in my life I pray and my prayers are hitting the ceiling and coming back down. And he looks at me and said, don't you feel that way? Sometimes didn't that happen to you? I said, brother, no. I never felt that way. He goes, no. You got to feel that way. I said, no. He goes, I pray and I hit the ceiling and comes back down. And I said, no, I don't. That's a lack of faith. I told him, I said, brother, that's a lack of faith. If I'm praying, believing that God is listening. He might choose not to answer my prayer, and I have to have enough faith and say, okay, Lord, I'm okay with it. You see, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. So Hannah put in the final verse of her song that the Lord is sovereign and that he rules over everything. Hannah makes three exhortations here about God's sovereign rule here. Number one, letter A, the Lord will establish his people. Look at verse 8. He riseth up the poor. And we already read that verse. Look at verse 9. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. You say, well, how could the wicked is going to be in silent in darkness? Let me tell you, hell is waiting for them. It is dark as can be. They think that those people think they live in this world, they go through life, they do what they want, live the way they want, they mock God, they put a fist at God, and they're going to depart from this world, and they're going to say when they get and they die, I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. And I'm going to tell God that to move out of the way because I am going to get to heaven. Isn't that amazing? They feel like they deserve it. They put a fist at God. They mock God. They don't care about God, his word, his church, his people, but they think they're going to heaven. There'll be complete darkness right here. You see, God had established the world so that it can be moved. It can't be moved. And what happened out in our planet is under is watchful care. We make something. Sometimes we may sometimes think that God has abandoned the earth to Satan and his demonic powers, but he's still in perfect control, and this is still my Father's world. Satan might be renting the earth for a time, but let me tell you, this earth belongs to God. He's the creator. He's the one who established the galaxies in this universe. Satan, so to speak, is renting this place for a time, but the owner of the world, of this universe, is God who created all. No, we don't believe in the Big Bang theory. We don't believe in evolution. We believe in a creator. So did Hannah right here. She believed that God created all. He spoke and it came to existence. I have a hard time believing in evolution. If you out there in social media believe in an evolution, I say, I would love to talk with you about that. It is a very hard thing to believe. So the very foundation of the earth belongs to the Lord. And the picture here is of God picking up the whole world and sitting out on his foundation. This is a poetic way of saying that God both created and sustains the world. And if God created and sustains the whole universe, surely he can take care of his people. Can God take care of us? I believe so. Is he taking care of us? Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. People say, well, I'm taking care of myself. Really? You know, I'll be honest with you. Humanism, it is penetrating this world in such a way, creeping through the hearts and minds of mankind that they don't even see it. They push God totally out of the way, and man has out of an answer for everything. Really? Can man move a storm to the ocean? Can man move the snow up to the mountains? Can man stop a rainstorm? No, men cannot. But they think they can. They say it's Mother Nature. You know what? There's no such thing as Mother Nature. There is a Father God who controls nature. Look actually what it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. It says, for by him were all things created that are in the heaven, and they are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things, all things were created by him and for him. And look what it says in verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The Bible is clear that before anything came to existence, God was already there. You say, where was God before anything existed? Who created God? Well, when you get to him, when you get to heaven someday, ask him. That's a good question to ask. God, who created you? Ask him. If it bothers you that much. That is the point here. The God who established the earth and set the world upon his foundation will guard the feet or the way of his saints. This is saints in verse 8. It's just another way of saying his people. We become part of God's people when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible says. Actually, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 says, and he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. So God's people walk on this earth in the light of God's word. God is the one who's guiding his children. God is the one who's blessing his children. God is the one who's doing all that. So the Lord God and protects the steps of his children. But the lost world walk in spiritual darkness because they depend on their own wisdom and strength. You know what the world says to Christians, to believers, to the children of God? You guys are old-fashioned. You guys are dangerous. You guys are closed-minded people. You guys need to get out of the box so you guys can think the way we do. You know what we say to them? You are lost. Your mind is blackened. You cannot see the truth. Open your eyes and see what Jesus has to offer you. God is long-suffering with those who resist him, but their day is coming. The day of reckoning is coming for those who reject God. It was appointed unto man once to die, and after the judgment. They think they can get away with everything. But guess what? A day is coming when they will face God's judgment. Let it be, the Lord will shatter his enemies. Look at verse 10. The adversary of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of the heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth and shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. So to lead, that leads us to the second exhortation right here about God's sovereign rule right here. God will shed his enemies. In verse 10, and his enemies was her barrenness right here. She couldn't not overcome it in her own strength. She called upon God to help her, to rescue her from where she is, and God did. What God did for Hannah is just a small picture of what God will do in the whole world. Remember, there is no one like our God. No one can stand in God's way. No one can deviate God's plan. No one shatter. God will shatter those who oppose him, and he will thunder against them from heaven. Let me tell you, God rules over everything, and he will judge the ends of the earth. God will establish his people, and he will shatter his enemies. You know, there are people in this world, what they do is evil continually, day after day after day. You know what? The day of reckoning comes to them too. They will die, and they will face God. You see, let us see, the Lord will give strength to his king. Look at verse 10. And he shall give strength unto to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. So Hannah finally exerts that God will give strength to the king. Look at verse 10. This part of Hannah's song is prophetic in a number of ways, because at that time there is no king in Israel. She's singing this song of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord, but at this time they're living in the day of the judges. There's no king. First of all, is a prophetic of King David. It is a time when Hannah sang this song. There was no king, like I said, in Israel. But still, she's singing a song of victory. God has planned for Samuel to be born, and this time, in order to lead Israel through the process of anointing a king. And so Hannah's song is prophetic of David and the whole line of kings that will follow him. It is also prophetic of Jesus, the Messiah. The word Messiah means anointed, and it comes from this very word here in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. This is the first time the word is used in Scripture to describe a king rather than a priest. Because remember, in those days, there was no kings, there was priests. Over time, Israel would come to understand that God would send his Messiah, the anointed one, the king from David's line, who would reign forever. Let me tell you, folks, this is a song of praise, a song of thanksgiving, a song of a grateful heart. Let me tell you, we don't have to wait for Thanksgiving to give praise to God. We don't. You know what? We can praise him every day. Every day that he gives us, we can praise him. We can praise him every Sunday when we get it together, when we assemble together with other believers. We can praise him. I tell you what, here's one thing that we need to do as Christians when we come to the house of God to meet with other believers, and when we come to worship the Lord. Prepare our hearts. Cleanse ourselves so we can come and praise our God. You see, I conclude with this. What are some things you can take away from this passage? We can take away from this passage tonight. First of all, know that the Lord is in control. Are you facing troubles today? Is our world in trouble today? You know some people that is in trouble. You have some situations in your life. Let me tell you this. God is in control. You know what we need to do? One step at a time. Each step that we make, trust the Lord. He is in control. Be honest with him when you pray. Be honest with God. Secondly, remember that the Lord is the one who humbles and exalts. Therefore, don't be arrogant when you talk to the Lord. Be humble. I tell you what, Hannah's song is a wonderful song. It reminds us of how we should approach the Lord. Sometimes, you know, our prayer and it just need to be a song of thanksgiving. Instead, you know, we blubbing words, we just sing a song and we praise Him from the bottom of our hearts. Sometimes, you know, a song of thanksgiving for our God. He's a great God. You know, I think we forget the many blessings that He gives us. We always look for the next thing, the next thing. We forget all the things that He has done for us in the past. He is a great God. He is a loving God. And I tell you what, He is worthy of our praise. You see, Hannah, she went there and she was praising God because she felt in her heart that our God is worthy to be praised. And let me tell you, you and I, we can come to the house of God. We can live for Him. You know why? Because He is worthy of our praises. Let's live like that. Heavenly Father, thank You so much, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Thank You for the song of Hannah, a song of praise, a song of gratitude, a song that came from a thankful heart, a woman, Lord, that had the joy of the Lord in her heart. I pray, Father, help us to be like Hannah, to have the joy of the Lord in our hearts each and every day. Lord, in the midst of trials, in the midst of conflict, in the midst of discouragement, Lord, help us to have the joy of the Lord, to help us to overcome all those things in our lives, and help us to keep our eyes on the mark. Keep our eyes on heaven, Lord, looking for Your coming. In Jesus' name I pray.